Bibles mixed up. Well, it's so good to be in the Lord's house while I'm chattering. Turn to Galatians 6 as well as 1 Chronicles 29. And we have thoroughly enjoyed our time here, as always. I don't know how many times we've been here. We've already recounted when we've come, but I can't recall all the times we've been here. It's been numerous. But every time we come, we always enjoy several things about being here. And the fellowship of you all, the fellowship of your pastor, and just the spirit of the services, it's always been enjoyable. And we always are thrilled when we're coming back, and look forward when we're here. And then we always are sad when we part. But thank the Lord, there we won't part in heaven. Pray for us, Lord willing. This time of year, things slow down. But I am preaching next week in Kentucky. I'm not sure the name of the town. I've never been to the church, but I do have the address, so I'm pretty confident I'll get there, be there next week, and then that's it till after Christmas. Preach on a Wednesday night up at my brother's church where he pastors in Southeast Virginia, just because we happen to be up there for the in-laws are there, so I'll preach there that Wednesday and then start the new year. And that's just a whole new things to go through, and be in Florida and be in Virginia and a few other places in the month of January. I believe most of you probably have a prayer card, but if you don't, go by there and get one and pray for us. We'd appreciate it. Galatians chapter 6, and then we're going, first of all, the 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. We've read this verse for the most part each evening. Thine, in verse 11, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. The context of that verse is the last days of David's life. He's physically aged, and he's seeing the sunset of his life. He's given, humanly speaking, given the kingdom over to his son Solomon. And as an old man, he's not bitter, he's not angry, he's not cantankerous, but he's glorifying and praising the Lord for God's greatness. How good God has been to him. David went through a lot of hardships and troubles and trials, but he's not sitting down and complaining, but he's praising the Lord. That's how we ought to be as well. Every day, if we do that every day, we'll do that when we get old, won't we? We do it every day. So David is talking about God's goodness. Then we're in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, of course, is a book that was written to the church by Paul at the church of Galatia. They had men that had crept in there and were teaching false doctrine and teaching things that wasn't so, and adding, if you will, to salvation. And Paul writes this letter to them, and he is correcting some things, and he is giving his salutation, if you will, his last few thoughts to this church. And he begins in verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That's a good quality to have when we're dealing with someone that's not doing right. And this is why we're meek about it, considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted. We have a word that, a little phrase we call eating crow. You want to serve your crow with nice spices, because you might have to eat it. We have another little saying, man shouldn't throw rocks who lives in a glass house. It's what Paul is basically saying here. Do it in meekness, lest you be tempted also. Bear you one another's burdens, in verse 2, so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall ye Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that it teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap, shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Our text verse is verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're concluding our time together this week with this thought about God's greatness. He's greater than our weakness. We looked at He's greater than our weariness, or greater than our weakness. This is He's greater than our weariness. We looked at He's greater than our weakness. He's greater than our fear, bitterness, sin, so much other things God is greater than. But I want us to look at God being greater than our weariness. And Paul here is emphasizing in these last few verses, or these first verses, about how that we are to be concerned about other believers. How we're to be concerned about those that are in the faith, that are overwhelmed with troubles and obstacles, and the word he uses, burdens. And that's how our life should be. We should live our life with others on our heart. We don't live our life for others, but we should live our life with others on our heart. You know the little acronym, I believe that's the right phrase, joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. They said of the great man, William Booth, I guess his Salvation Army is more prominent in our day during this time of year than any other time of the year. You'll see them out there ringing their bells with their red kettles. I'm not sure all that goes on with the Salvation Army today, but I know at the beginning of the Salvation Army, a great soldier of God, Mr. William Booth, started that. They were having their international convention, and he had fallen sick and could not go to the event. So he sent back word in a telegram, and it was the theme that was on his heart, the joy of his heart, and it was just one word, and that word was others. That's what he was emphasizing and wanted to be emphasized, was others. Again, refer to one of the great theological quotes from the Peanut comic strip. You know, Lucy, she said to Charlie, she says to Charlie Brown, she says, "Why are we on earth anyway?" She said, "Why are we on earth anyway?" And Charlie Brown replied, "To make others happy." And she thought for a moment and she said, "Then why are the others here?" I thought that was pretty applicable, wasn't it? The truth be known, the Lord gave Himself for others. He talks all throughout His life on earth about others. He went about, the Word of God says, what? Doing good. Others. And He begins in these verses. I want to get to this before I get to my thought. He begins with these verses, and He says about bearing the burdens for others. He says we are to restore those taken in a fault in the spirit of meekness. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll set them straight. I'll tell them the truth. I'll give them this." I know in our genre sometimes amongst our crowd, we want to be militant. And I understand what's meant by that militant terminology, but I believe before militant, we ought to be meek. The only man that God said saw Him face to face, he was the meekest man on earth. That man was Moses. In my Bible reading, I just finished up Deuteronomy this morning, and he said there was no prophet before or after Moses whom God spoke to face to face. He said we're to restore them, in not a judgmental attitude, but in the spirit of meekness. Verse 2 and 3 said we're to bear their burdens, carry their loads. those who are burdened and discouraged. Our hearts and hands, the Word of God said, should go out to those that are weary and battling. And then He says, bear the burdens. But in verse number 5, He says, bear your own burdens. Some have said that's a contradictory, but it's quite obvious the context is different. In verse number 2, He's talking about faults. He says, be ye, but brethren, bear your one another's burdens. He says in verse 1 about the faults of others, how we're to help those and encourage those to do their best. And that's the burden we're to bear. But in verse number 5, He's talking about work. But in verse 4, He says, but let every man prove his own work. So there's no contradictory in those two different viewpoints. Bearing one another's burdens is when they're burdened and they have problems. We're to get up under that load. But when He says, bear ye your own burden, He's talking about your work. Don't sit around and let everybody else do your work. Get up under the burden and do it yourself. Then verse number 7 through verse number 9, we see verse 7, a precept, which is a foundational truth. That is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse number 8, we see a principle. He says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And then verse number 9, which is our thought tonight, we see a promise. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap, if we faint not. God is greater than our weariness. Let me look at three things this evening that's in our verse. Number 1, press on, don't give out. I use a word, I don't know if it's a real word, I made it up. Maybe, I don't know. Faintlessness. Don't faint. Be not weary. Weariness, let me say it this way, isn't necessarily wrong. Matter of fact, it's natural. The Word of God says in John 4 and verse 6, now Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being what? Wearied with his journey, set thus on the well. But we need to examine this matter of weariness a little closer. I want you to notice number 1, the source of weariness. What causes people to be weary? What I mean by that word weary, just overwhelmed, just burdened down, just wanting to quit, just wanting to give up. What's the source of weariness? Can I say number 1, sin can bring weariness. Jeremiah 15 and verse 6 says this, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, thou hast gone backward, therefore I will stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee, for I am weary with repenting. Isaiah 1 verse 14, he talks about being wearied with their wickedness. Isaiah 7 and verse number 13 talks about the weariness that men have brought upon themselves because of their lying. Sin brings weariness. Nothing can bring weariness to a nation, a home, or a church like sin can. I mean, you can look at an individual and you can see them, and I don't mean everyone, but you see them out in the world and you can just see that sin has pressed them down. You see it in their countenance, you see it in their attitude, you hear it in their conversation. Sin brings weariness. I'm telling you this evening that you can't hang around sin very long without becoming weary. This world, it's so weary tonight, and it's not because of the economical problems. It's not because of the leadership problems solely. It's not because of all the other things they say are bringing about such a drudgery in life. It's sin. Sin's the source, and it will bring weariness in our life. Not only does sin bring weariness, but sorrows bring weariness. Psalm 6 and verse 6, David writes and says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. He says again in Psalm 69 and verse 3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. David, if there's one man that went through troubles and trials throughout the Scripture and wrote about it, it would have been David. And throughout his Psalms, you see how that he has went through troubles and trials, and those troubles and trials bring about weariness, death, or sickness. Just living in a world that we live in that's cursed. Sorrows bring weariness. I remember receiving a phone call one time. It's been about 2 years ago. I was in an airport, actually, and I heard news about an individual that they have 3 sons and a daughter, but I knew they have at least 3 children, maybe possibly 4. And their one son, and these kids are all out of the house, but very young still. The one son died. I believe it was a drug overdose. Now these were church-going people. And then 2 months to the day, the second son died in a tragic car accident. He called me while I was in the airport, and I called him, rather. And when he picked up the phone, it was just sobs. And he said, "I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know if we're going to make it. If God don't do something, I don't see how we can make it through all of this." Sorrows bring weariness. Trips to the cemetery or trips to the hospital. Being alone or having burdens on us because of sorrows, they bring about weariness. And David wrote about that. Sin brings weariness. Sorrow brings weariness. But you know, service can bring weariness. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 18, the Lord says, Moses says this to the people, he's talking about Amalek, if I'm not mistaken, "how he met thee by the way and smote thee in the hindermost parts, even as thou were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary." The very familiar verse in Isaiah 40 and verse 30, "even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall." I'm telling you this evening that service will bring about weariness. But that's the source of weariness. We're looking at faintlessness. Press on. Don't give up. Let's look at the solution to this weariness. And I say, number one, the measurement, which is the Lord. The measurement. You know, if you cook something, you have a measuring device, hopefully. Now, I know the old timers, they just do a pinch of this and a splash of that, and it typically turns out better than all of these other cookbooks. But you have a measurement. This is a standard. This is what you're supposed to go by. The Lord's the measurement. I like this verse. It says in Hebrews chapter number 12, I believe it's verse number 2, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." The writer of Hebrews said, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, hey, if you're weary and you're about to faint, if you feel like giving up, consider him. He did not quit. Often we look around and we see our circumstances, we look inside and we find no hope, we look outside and we don't get any encouragement. But the Word of God says when you find yourself in a perplexed situation and you're discouraged and you feel like quitting, you feel like giving up, what you're supposed to do is consider Him. Look at the Lord, study the Word of God, and find more out about Him and consider all that He went through. And he kept going. And he kept at it. He never gave up. Meditate on it. I'll conclude that verse of Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles." See, Isaiah 40 and verse 30 said, even the youth will be wearied. But verse 31 says, "they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. Why is that? Because they were considering the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, the measurement is the Lord. And then the motive, the solution to weariness. Not only look at our measurement, but our motive. You read in 1 Thessalonians and Revelation, there are some similarities. I'm talking about our motive, why we do what we do. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica and he talks to them and he uses some terms that are somewhat synonymous or rather duplicated in the church of, I believe it was Ephesus. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. And he says, this is what I remember. And he loved the church at Thessalonica, didn't he? They were a great church. They were a church that I believe it was said of them that their faith was spoken abroad. And he said, you were working with faith. You were laboring with love. You had hope, and your patience was motivated by your hope. But in Revelation 2, God is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, nevertheless, I had somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. You see, you notice the difference between the work and the love. They were working in faith at Thessalonica. They were laboring in love. But what was absent at the church of Ephesus was they were not working with love. They were just working because it was a routine. It was a obligation. Motive is very important as we work for God. There's something about weariness. When we're doing it out of obligation, it's a whole lot different when we're doing it out of love. I tell you what helps that one keep driving that bus or keep teaching that class or keep going out and knocking on those doors or just keep being that mother, that wife, that husband, that father with the right kind of attitude when our motivation is not what we can get out of it, but our motivation is that we might please God and glorify the Lord in the role in which He's asked us to fill. So we see, press on, don't, He says, be not weary in well-doing. So we're to press on, don't give out, faintlessness. Then notice what he says secondly, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Not only don't give out, but don't give up. Fruitfulness. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Notice what he says here. We shall reap if we faint not. Paul doesn't put himself above the possibilities of quitting. Paul doesn't say, you shall reap if you faint not. He says, we shall reap if we faint not. Because Paul realized just how possible it was that he would be one that would faint and quit. He wrote that to the church of Corinth. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. You see, Paul tells the church here at Galatia, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give out. Be not weary, but don't give up. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. There is coming a day where there will be a reaping. There's coming a day, and I understand this morning or this evening, there's laws of the harvest. We reap what we sow, and that's a bad thing when we sow good, but that's a good thing when we sow good. And he says, hey, don't give in. We shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Don't give in. There's a lot of pressure for us to quit. There's a lot of, can I say it this way, voices for us to quit. There's even a lot of reasons that the old devil and flesh and world give you to quit. There's a lot of avenues that will lead you out of the right way and into the quitting way. But Paul said, don't give in. Don't give in to the voices that say stop. Don't give in to the world that says quit. Don't give in to the devil that says it's not worth it. Don't give in to all of the opposition and all of the downward pull. There is a joy of this being faithful. For in due season, be not weary in well doing. He says, don't give in this well doing. Keep doing well. Keep living well. Don't give in. Be not weary in well-doing. Well-doing. Giving in. Jumped ahead of myself. Looked at my notes incorrectly. Don't give in. Faithfulness. Not only faithlessness, but faithfulness. In well-doing. There's a lot of people that are doing, but they're not doing well. They're giving in. Giving in to the wickedness of the world. Look what he says about our sowing. He says it in verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh, he that soweth to the flesh. He's telling us we need to consider where we're sowing. Giving in. Sowing to the flesh. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, there's a lot of people they're not sowing in the right places. He says, consider where you sow. We were talking at lunch today, I believe it was, about Micronesia and the food over there and how you couldn't get a good garden. The preacher was telling me all the challenges it was to get the garden. The ground wasn't good. And then places where the ground was good, the rodents were working to destroy the garden than the gardener could work to keep it. They were more concerned about it. It was just hard to sow a good garden in that environment. And you go all over the place and you'll see certain places they have cotton, certain places they have corn, certain places they have soybeans. And you go out to the California and all the strawberries and just different places the ground is more adapt for growing and different environments. The place there is more adapt to the seasons for certain fruits. But can I tell you this evening, there is sought to be no time in our life that we're not sowing good. He said, consider where you sow. Then consider when you sow. We need to realize that now is the time to do our sowing. We don't have time to waste. Was it not C.T. Studd that made this statement like this? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You say, but preacher, my life is half lived or, you know, a quarter lived or three quarters lived. But it's not completed. We still have time and we still need to utilize every ounce of our energy to sow the right way. I'm reminded of a story. A man came by our church and he was an older man at this time. He told about when he started out in the ministry, he was preaching a revival and he was preaching this revival. And one of the nights at the beginning of the week, individual came down and got saved. And the evangelist went down there and he was talking to them and he said, well, show me who it was here that invited you. Who brought you to church? And that person said, well, they're not here tonight. And the evangelist, you know, he kind of took it in stride. He said, oh, okay, well, we're glad you came. We're glad you got saved, so on and so forth. The next night, a couple people came down and got saved. And the evangelist was talking to them, and he said, Well, who was it that invited you to the church? Show me who they were. We you know, meet them. And he says, I'm sorry. They said they're not here tonight. Well, that got the evangelist a little perturbed. What in the world's happening? So he talked to the pastor and he said, told him what he had heard and made sure that was correct. And the pastor said, oh yeah. He said, yeah. After we eat lunch tomorrow, he said, we'll go over and make a visit. So they ate lunch. And after lunch, they went over to a little humble home, knocked on the door. A frail voice said, who is it? And the preacher said, it's the preacher. I got the guest preacher with me this afternoon. And the sweet little voice said, oh, y'all come in, it's open. They came in and it was a little home, not a lot of furniture. And over in the corner was a hospital bed, a little nightstand. Little recliner beside it. On the nightstand, a telephone. Back in the day. And they sat down beside this elderly lady. She was what we call homebound, shut in, if you will. She said, preacher, I've been praying for the meeting. I've heard that some people's gotten saved. I was so glad to hear the meeting's going well. And she talked to the evangelist, and he told her how the meeting was going. She said, yes, I've been inviting people. She said, I've called everybody that I know and invited them. Right beside her little phone was a telephone book. She said, and when I ran out of people that I knew, I started calling people out of the telephone book. And I've heard some of them's gotten saved. Now there was a lady who didn't say it's my time to be set out to pasture. There was a lady who said, you know, this matter of sowing, it never quits until they sow me in the ground. This matter of doing things for the Lord, I can't give in. Hey, do you think that the old devil said you're washed up to her a time or two? Do you think she ever faced the hardships of health and the struggles of getting by? But she said, I cannot give in. Be not weary in well doing. We can't afford to give in to this world and to our flesh and to the devil. There's still something we can do. Don't give in. Can I challenge us as younger people? Thank the Lord I'm still in that category. I don't like the fact that I'm no longer in the category of, 21 to 45. I'm now in that, they put me in that big group with the 60s and 70 year olds on these brochures and so on and so forth. But can I encourage us? There's a lot of obstacles for us to go to the wicked route and the liberal route and the worldly route, but we need not give in. We need to stand firm on the Word of God. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't give in. Don't give out. Be not weary. And then he says, in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, don't give up. Faithfulness. Faithlessness. Fruitfulness. Don't give up. I've hit on that already when I jumped ahead of myself, but we're to stay on course. We get weary. I wouldn't be surprised if we're not weary tonight. I'm not talking about physically necessarily, but just spiritually. You're weary with the way things are going in the home. You're weary with the way things are going with your health. You're weary in the way that things are going in relationships. Just weary with life. Can I encourage you? Don't give up. Don't quit. Why, preacher? Don't quit. Quit because we're going to reap if we keep at it. It's going to be worth it all. The song said it, doesn't it? The songwriter said, oftentimes this world seems dark without a ray of care. He said, hey, but there's coming a day that it's going to be worth it all. There'll be no more troubles. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more discouragements. There'll be no more sicknesses. No more separation. No more doctor visits. No more sad telephone calls, no more loneliness. And we don't want to get to that land over there and wish we would have stayed at it in this part of the world. Don't give up. Keep at it. Keep going. David, when he was anointed by Samuel, boy, things didn't go good for him, did it? Saul began to hunt him down, and the whole army of Israel began to hunt him down, but he never stopped being faithful. He just kept at it. And one day he was sitting on the throne. I think about Jonathan when he asked David to be kind to him and show him kindness to his seed. And he had a son by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a lineage of Jonathan. And David went and was kind to him. I'm saying years went by. But Mephibosheth was eventually set at the king's table. And I'm telling you this evening, what you and I ought to do is look at these verses and realize that God is greater than our weariness. He can give us what we need. He can give us the strength to keep going. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just go today. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. Think about that little phrase. If. That's a contingency clause. You know anything about that terminology, contingency clauses? If you've ever dealt in sale, whether it be items or real estate, they'll have a little contingency clause. In other words, we'll go through with this deal here if these criteria meet the par, if you will. And that's the contingency clause right there. We shall reap if we faint. Preacher, how can I keep going when I'm facing such troubles and trials and hardships? Remember, God is greater than the things in front of us. The little song says it this way. It's in the what we call down south the Redback Hymnal. It's the old church hymnal. Church of God hymnal, but it's good. It says it this way on that song, Press On. Press on, it won't be very long. Until we reach that land of song, in heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on, it won't be very long. Just keep at it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Preacher, you mean to tell me that I'm not going to get weary? Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But I'm telling you, there's coming a day you won't. It just ain't here. But until that day gets here, I want to keep going for the Lord. I want to keep faithful in the place He has me to serve. Whether that's a husband, a wife, a child, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a bus driver, sound man, greeter, janitor, whatever way God wants me to serve Him, I want to be faithful at it and keep at it. Just keep going. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That should keep us on a regular schedule in our praying. That should keep us on a regular schedule in our Bible reading. That should keep us on a regular schedule in witnessing to others. We want to stay faithful. We want to be at it. We don't want to quit. Will we be weary? Sure we will be. Will we feel like quitting? Absolutely. But we'll look and realize we can't quit now. The finish line is just ahead. The songwriter said it this way, "There's too many miles behind me. Too many rivers I've crossed. Too many mountains I've climbed over. There's just too much to gain to lose. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." God is greater than our weariness. Will you bow with me this evening?